The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweis, and this is the Stoic Jew podcast where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. You remember this podcast? It's been close to 4 months since I've recorded an episode. I will try not to dwell at length on why I haven't been recording episodes. The short version of it is that this year turned out to be much busier than I thought. With my new teaching job, well, it's not new anymore, but this year's return to the high school classroom, something had to give, and I guess it ended up being the Stoic Jew podcast. A combination of that and all of the same pressures I put on myself that have accumulated over the years that I feel the need to make the Stoic Jew podcast into a sheer. It's not something I want to do, and it's been holding me back from just producing regular Stoic Jew content. I did post as a sponsorship note a couple weeks ago that if someone is willing to sponsor the Stoic Jew podcast for a month, I would gladly step up to the plate to make a weekly episode. I just need that extra push. I need that accountability. I think I just, like I said, I've been putting too much pressure on myself to make each episode into like a whole sheer. I really want to return to the original format from 2020 where I make 5 to 10 minute episodes. I just open up Marcus Aurelius, read the next entry in the chapter, and then just muse on it. And that's it. So I really want to return to that. I just need, I feel like I need someone to help me break out of my stalemate. In fact, I'll quote Marcus Aurelius. Yeah, so Marcus Aurelius says in book 7, chapter 7, "There is no shame in being helped because you've got to do the job you've been set. Like a soldier storming a city wall. Suppose you had a limp and were unable to scale the battlements on your own, but could do so with someone else's assistance." So very simple, easy said, but like for some reason, I feel like I've had to like put all this pressure on myself to make these episodes. And I am now admitting that I need help. If someone wants to just sponsor something, it doesn't even have to be that much. I just need someone to say, here, I'm going to sponsor you. And then now this creates an external impetus and accountability for me to make these episodes. All right, so that's all I'll say about that. The reason I'm making an episode today is because, as you can tell from the title, I reached my 1,000th day of gratitude. And this actually happened 2 Shabbos ago on Parshas Shemini. That was my 1,000th day. But I didn't record this past week because I've been sick with a cold, which is also why I sound sick now because I'm still sick. And I just wanted to do what I always do on these gratitude milestones and reflect on the benefit of this practice. So to review, to recap, although I also have all of the past gratitude episodes linked in the show notes, I started this in the summer of 2021 at the suggestion of my friend and Chavrusa Levi, who got this practice from Tara Brach. Each day we email each other, Levi and I, the email includes 5 items, 3 things we're grateful for, 1 moment of savoring, and 1 act of chesed or tzedakah that we did to anyone else or even to ourselves. And the idea is we originally called it the gratitude accountability experiment because journaling is definitely a good idea, but as we know, it's much easier to stick with a habit if you are accountable to someone, as anyone who's been a chavrusa knows, or I guess for people who have like a workout partner or whatever, which is not something I've had, but it's easier if you're accountable to someone else. And also I think the act of, there's benefits and detriments to writing to someone else. If you're writing just for yourself, you can be more, I guess, candid and, excuse me, and open, but if you're writing to, but you also run the risk of not spelling things out as clearly as you would if you're expressing this to someone else. So for me, I think with regular journaling, then it's good to keep it private. But for the gratitude thing, then it's been good for me to express this to a really good friend. And the way that we formulate it is, you know, each of the 3 entries is I'm grateful to Hashem for blank. And then we write as much or as little as we want. So I have now been doing this for over 1,000 days. And as I say in every episode, this has changed my life. It has been the best habit that I've gotten into outside of halacha. And it has affected so many things. And as I do, I wanted to reflect on what the change has been, or the benefit that has been that I've noticed the most in since the last update. So I, excuse me. So I think when I reflect back on, I don't know when the last gratitude episode was, but when I reflect back on how this practice has changed me, what I think of is I think this has helped me to reach an ideal that I thought was unattainable by mere mortals. In an earlier episode, when I first purchased the Stoic coins sold by Ryan Holiday, I mentioned that I bought 3 coins. These are coins that are minted with certain ideas from Stoicism on them. So one of them was the Memento Mori coin about remembering that you're mortal. The other one was the obstacle is the way, which is about that idea that whatever you encounter, you can use in, as a means of furthering your own ends. And then the third one was premeditatio malorum, of keeping all of the bad things that can happen in your mind before you at all times. So I mentioned a fourth coin, and this is the coin that they sell that says amor fati, which means love fate. And the coin says on one side, amor fati, not merely to bear what is necessary, but to love it. And then on the back, it has a quote, not from one of the Stoics, but from Nietzsche, who says, not merely bear what is necessary, still less conceal it, but love it. And I know this idea is all over the place in Tanakh and in Chazal, but I quoted from Talmud Bavli, Shabbos Daf Peches Amud Beis, 88b, that says, Tanu Rabbanan, Aluvin ve'inan olvin, shomin cherpasan ve'inan meshivin, osin me'ahava u'smechin bi'yisurin. Aleha ha'kazav omer, ve'ohavav k'teis ha'shemesh bi'gvurasel. So regarding those who are insulted and do not insult back, who hear their disgrace and don't respond, who act out of love and rejoice in afflictions. Regarding them, the pasuk in Shoftim 5:31 says, those who love him are like the sun emerging in its might. So I don't remember what I said at the time, but I do remember making the conscious decision to not buy that coin because I felt that that was a level, amor fati, of loving what happens, not just bearing it. I thought that that was a level that was beyond people like me. But what I found is that the practice of gratitude journaling or doing this gratitude accountability experiment has enabled me on the small scale to actually implement this and to actually love what is happening instead of just bearing it. I know I just repeated myself, but this is something that emerged from practicing the mentality of the obstacle is the way. I think examples of this, recent examples of this, are episodes I've made about my insomnia, and which thank God has been not so bad lately. But I just find myself on so many days when certain things happen that are, or that would have been upsetting and still are upsetting, being grateful for the opportunities of reflection and growth that those occurrences provide me. And I can now see for the first time how it would be possible to have this mentality as the baseline. Now, thank God I have not suffered the types of tragedies that cripple other people. And there's no way for me to know how I'll handle those when they come. But I do know that this gratitude journal practice is preparing me for those activities, or not those activities, those occurrences, should they come. So I think that is a fantastic thing, and that's been the benefit that I've reaped, that I've been aware of, that I've reaped over these past couple hundred days. I guess because it's close to Pesach, I just wanted to mention one thing as well, which is that, excuse me, which is that I think when people are, when they hear the notion of a gratitude journal, then there are certain things that turn them off. And for some people, it's kind of like this is a hokey practice, or it's too, I'm not into this mindfulness stuff. But I do think that for some people, there is kind of this default feeling of, well, I have gratitude anyway, so why do I need to devote time to like writing about it or expressing it? I'm a grateful person. And what I associate to is, here's a little trivia question. What is the first piece of gratitude liturgy in Tanakh. Okay, and by liturgy, I mean something that is recited, that Tanakh presents as something that is recited as a statement of gratitude in a formal setting. So I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the answer is the Vidui Bikurim, the declaration that is made when we bring first fruits to the base of Mikdash, which is the passage that we actually use for the Haggadah. So I'm not going to read the whole thing. I think we're familiar from it with it from the Haggadah, but there's the pasuk in Devarim Chavav Gimel 26:3 says, Uvasa el hakohen asher yihi bayamim ahim, you shall come to the Kohen who will be in those days. V'amarta elav, and you shall say to him, he gadati hayom la Hashem elokecha, kibasi el haaretz asher nishba Hashem la'avoseinu la'aseh lanu. So the way this is usually translated, he gadati hayom, I have declared today to Hashem, or I have testified, or I have recounted to Hashem, your God, that I have come into the land which Hashem swore to our fathers to give us. And then you say the entire declaration of Arami Ovidavi, that however you want to translate that, my father was a wandering Aramean, or an Aramean wanted to destroy my father, and he went down to Egypt, et cetera, et cetera. And you say the whole declaration. So I think the go-to translation for Haggadah, Lahagid, is to declare or to recount or to tell. And that is definitely how some people interpret it. But I was reminded over Shabbos that that's not the only way to translate it, that there is a translation of Haggadah as Lashon Hoda'ah, as giving thanks, as thanksgiving. So, for example, Sadigon, in his Arabic translation, the Tafsir, translates our Pasuk as follows. And this is the Hebrew translation of his Arabic translation. V'lech bazos el ha-kohen asher yamale es ha-tafkid ba'oso hazman v'amar lo. You shall go to the priest who holds the office at that time and say to him, Kvar hibati es todasi hayom el Hashem elokecha. I have already expressed my gratitude today to Hashem, your God. Okay, and Ibn Ezra also brings this down. He says that one possible meaning of higarati is kidmus hodaya, is an act of giving thanks. And someone in their commentary on the Haggadah mentions this as well. So really, if you think about this, the activity of the declaration that we make to the Kohen, where we recount the entire going down to Egypt and being redeemed, and then it resulting in us bringing the first fruits before the Kohen, it is an act of thanksgiving. And if you think about the entire Haggadah, this is also an act of thanksgiving. In fact, the Rambam, in his formulation of the mitzvah in the Sefer HaMitzvos, mentions that that is actually part of the De'oraisa, part of the Torah obligation of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, of telling the story of the Exodus from Egypt. Let me just actually reread this. I haven't read it this year. In Mitzvah Kuf Nun Zayin, Hatzivu Yishnit Tzadavinu L'Saper Yetzias Mitzrayim B'Leil Chamisha Asar B'Nisan B'Tchilas Alayla. This is the mitzvah to tell of the account of the Exodus from Egypt on the night of the 15th of Nisan, at the beginning of the night, kfit tzachos lashon hamasaper, according to the teller's own eloquence, which means that you really should tell this. It's not just a matter of reading the Haggadah, it's a matter of telling the story according to your own language and your own formulation. And the more a person elaborates on the description of the situation, and the the Hagdalas Mash Asubanu, the aggrandizement of what the Egyptians did to us, Vahivu Shasu Lanu Hamitrim, and the injustice that they did to us, Vihach Nifra Lanu Hashem Mehem, and how God exacted retribution on our behalf from them, Uvahoda'a lo yisala al kol hacheset shergumalanu, and in giving thanks to Hashem for all of the kindness that he bestowed upon us, Harzem Shubach, then the better it is. As the sages say, kol hamarich l'sak repitiyas mitzrayim harzei meshubach. The more a person recounts the exodus from Egypt, then the more praiseworthy he is. So you see from the Rambam that the hodah, the giving of thanks, is part of the mitzvah de'oraisa, part of the biblical commandment of telling the story of the Exodus. It's not just telling the story; it's telling the story in a manner that culminates with our giving thanks to Hashem, which we do in the form of Hallel, but as the Rambam says, you really should do in a form of a natural outpouring in your own language. And in fact, our custom at our Seder that I lead at home is that I read this Rambam in the beginning of the Seder, And I mentioned the fact that giving personal thanks to Hashem for redeeming us from Egypt, and expressing how that has impacted you personally and shaped your life, that's part of the biblical mitzvah. And what we do at our Seder is if at any point a person feels moved to express thanks to Hashem in their own language, then we pause the Seder and allow that person to express that verbally, because that is part of the biblical mitzvah. So I thought that this is a good, endorsement for the gratitude journaling practice, because, you know, just like I said, someone can easily say, well, I have gratitude, why do I need to actually express it? You could say the same thing for the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the gratitude for that, right? But as we know, the halakha says, "Vafilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevoim, kulanu zakenim, kulanu yodim es haTorah, mitzvah alinu l'safer b'Yetzias Mitzrayim," that even if we were all wise, all understanding, all elders, all who know the entire Torah, it is incumbent upon us as a mitzvah to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of the Exodus. So what's the purpose? The purpose of telling it is not primarily for intellectual purposes. We know the events. We read them every year. We mention them many times throughout the week. But the main purpose is to instill this in us as a reality and to reinforce how grateful we are. And in fact, I saw this statement. I don't think the Ibn Kaspi learns that the word Haggadah means to give thanks. But on that phrase, Higarti Hayom, in Devarim, he says, "Bvoi lefanav im pri hadama shenasan lanu," when I come before God with the fruits of the earth that He has given to us. He says, "Vine zos ha'agada b'lashon," this declaration is verbal. "Eina lahodia o lahazkir lashem rak la'atmo." You're not making this declaration to inform other people, nor are you making this declaration to mention it to God, but you're doing it for yourself. And that really, I mean, that's the foundation of all tefillah, of all prayer, all praise and requests and thanksgiving in Judaism. You're not doing anything for God. You're doing it for yourself. You're doing it to reinforce this for yourself. So I think that the fact that we are obligated to make this formal declaration when we bring the first fruits, and the fact that we are all obligated to formally declare our gratitude every year at the Seder, is, again, it's an endorsement of how, even though you know that you're grateful, the act of expressing it verbally I don't like to use the word ritual, but in a ritualistic way, in the sense that it's not a spontaneous act of thanks that we're giving on the night of the 15th of Nisan. We're doing it in a formal, structured way that conforms to an obligation. Yet that format, the format of doing it in a structured way, allows for a genuine personal outpouring of gratitude. And that's how I found this gratitude journal, this gratitude accountability experiment to be, that even though every day I sit down and I write in obedience to this personal obligation I've taken upon myself to express the gratitude in this way, and I'm doing it in this formulaic way, it gives me such the rigid structure gives me an opportunity to have this genuine outpouring of gratitude to Hashem. And it shaped me, and it's made me into a different person. And so I as I do every time I make a gratitude journal episode of the Stoic Jew podcast, I urge you to ideally find someone who's willing to go on this journey with you, someone who you can hold each other accountable. And you don't have to commit to it for a lifetime. I say do it for a month, do it for 2 weeks, okay, and just see how it feels. And I think you'll find that it is something that is enjoyable and beneficial, and then you'll see how you continue it. And if you can't do this with someone else, then do it in the form of a gratitude journal that you just write for yourself. But I do think that doing it with someone else is going to be more beneficial in the long run. At least for me, it was. Okay, that is it for today's episode. If you've gained from what you've learned here, please consider contributing to my Patreon, which still exists, at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. That is still providing what I call the bedrock of support for my Torah content. And unlike other Patreon people, I realize I don't offer rewards or perks or tiers, but as one of my Patreon supporters says, this is like a way to support my Torah content lishma. So I do appreciate the Patreon pledges there. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweis Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweis. I always forget if it's dash or hyphen. The little horizontal bar in the middle of the thingy. And my Zelle and PayPal are mattschneeweis@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, if someone wants to sponsor specifically the Stoic Jew podcast, my goal right now is I do want to make one episode per week and just use that to get back into the routine. And I think if I keep it based on the original plan of just doing a short 5 to 10 minute episode, not like this one, which is now going on 20 minutes, then I think that'll be a realistic goal. So I would eagerly appreciate anyone who would like to sponsor that. So yeah, if you would like to sponsor days or weeks worth of content, or if you're interested in listing my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweis@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading. And thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.